Okay. First of all, any questions from previous stuff? Okay, where do we stand on, you're supposed to have given me or sent me something having to do with the payroll program. Because I want to go over that. And I want to go over the other one. So, have you sent me anything having to do with the payroll program?
I have the first one just about done.
Okay, but the second one, this one here, is the one I was looking for. That one there. Has anybody done that one?
No.
Okay. Where do you stand on JavaScript? Have you started doing the JavaScript at all? No, you haven't. All right. You have?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And you have done JavaScript or not? Pardon me?
I've done some.
Okay. Okay, well, let's back up one. You said you've almost finished the first one, which was this, the basic payroll assignment. Okay. Okay. There's an example like that, so I'm going to start there. And then we're going to progress forward. And what I'm going to do is I'm probably going to go over the payroll one, so if you haven't done it, I will put together an alternate example that I'll put out there that you'll have to do, because if I'm going to go over this, then obviously... But quite a few people that are going to be listening to the recording have done it, and I had said I would go over it today, so I want to do that. Okay, so this particular one, can you all bring this up? Where I went was I went to week 10, and the example, it says example, calculate total pass return, HTML. And bring that up so that you can see the code, because obviously it's not very big up here. But if you have it sitting in front of you, then we can go over it. Okay. So the first thing I did on this one was I set up the form. Okay, so we're going into setting up a form. And I came over here and I said the form name. If you go down and look underneath the body, there's a header, and then I set up the form. So the form is standing on its own. And it says form name equals data in. So what you're going to find is that I can, what I did when I sent things up to the function, which we'll talk about in a minute, I sent individual things that I needed. But in fact, you can send, if you want to, the name of the form. And then that tells it that the data that you're talking about is on the form. So that's an alternate way of doing it, not the way I did it. But I end up naming the form anyway. And lots of times when I do these, I use both name and ID. I didn't on this one, but lots of times I will use both name and ID. But if I use both name and ID, I give them the exact same word. So I would say name is data in, and then leave a space and say ID is data in. And so that both of them are called data in. Because there are some times when you want to use ID, and there's sometimes if you want to use name. Okay? So then I came down and I made a feeble attempt to put some column headers on here. First I wrote a paragraph where I said, enter the price, etc. And then I made a feeble attempt, as I said, to position the price and the quantity over the columns. So I wrote a lot of NBSPs. So does that move this in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 spaces and then wrote price. And then I moved a whole lot more spaces and I wrote quantity so that I got those positioned. Now, in fact, I actually didn't do that right away. In fact, I put in the input type boxes first, and then I went back and positioned the header over it because I couldn't really do the positioning until I saw the boxes down below. So I wrote input, and the type of box I want is a text box. So I said input type equals text. Okay? And then I called this one price one. And I gave it a size of 20. And then I went down and I put another box right next to it. And I called that one quantity one. And a size of 20. Okay? And then I put two BRs so that I would skip down to the next line. Okay, so the two BRs skip down to a blank line and then to the next line. So BRs left a blank line. And then I did price two and quantity two. And then I did two BRs. And then I did price three and quantity three and two BRs. And price four and quantity four. And two BRs. So that I have those 8 text boxes that I can enter data into. Okay. Then I want to be able to do 2 things. I want to figure out the total that I put in there. And I want to be able to clear it out. So I put on 2 buttons. One to figure out the total and one to do the clearing. Okay, so the first button is going to say, I want to do the calculations. Okay, and if I come over here and actually run this, let's say I put 1, 1, 2, 2, 3, 3, 4, 4. So that means the price is $1 and I want one of those. The price is $2 and I want 2. The price is $3 and I want 3. The price is $4 and I want 4. And if I total that up, it's 30. Okay? Because 1 times 1 is 1. Plus 4 plus 9 plus 16 is 30. So that gives me the 30. And notice the first time I write on this, it works just beautifully. Okay, then it stops working just beautifully. And we can get rid of the charming sound that goes with it. Okay, so now let's go back and look at the code. So I want it to do the add. So I have set up a function. And I have called the function calcTotal. And I need to send it, okay, and here's the line down below, which is where I'm sending. I need to send it what's in all of those boxes. So I'm saying, I want to go and do a function called calcTotal. Okay, so this is the function. And I'm going to go, oh my, I should never have said it was working. Okay, so let's try it one more time. Check here to restore ink. I'm waiting for that to go away. All right, let's try a different color. Okay, so I am going to say, go do that function. And in order to do that function, I'm sending a price 1, quantity 1, price 2, quantity 2, price 3, quantity 3, price 4, quantity 4. So I'm sending in all the information that are in these boxes. Okay? And those are the names that I'm using. So I'm sending these names. Okay? Okay. And it then is receiving those names. So here I am sending the text box names. And up here it is receiving them. Okay, and it has to receive them, and then it knows where they are. So then I set up a variable, and I could have set up variables separately, and in fact this would work if I hadn't used the word var at all. And I said, okay, answer one is going to be price one times value one. So it's going to be one times one, right? And then the next one is going to be two times two. And the next one is 3 times 3, and the next one is 4 times 4. So answer 1 becomes 1, 4, 9, and 16. Okay? So then I say the total answer is adding all those up. So I'm adding up 1, 4, 9, and 16 and putting that in total answer. And then I'm saying return total answer. So when I say return, that means it comes down here and it gets assigned right over here to the total.value. Okay, so I sent the stuff up, I did the calculation, and now I'm sending the answer back. And when I call the function, I have an equal sign right before it, which basically said, do this function, and whatever gets returned, put in the total. That's what I want to go into, the total. So whatever is returned is going to go into the total. Now, let's talk a little bit about the value. If I use a prompt, I don't have to worry about value. But when I use a text box has properties. Okay, a text box has properties. And that means there are a variety of things. I can have a color on a text box. I can have a height on a text box. I can have a font size for a text box. So when I use a text box, I have to tell it what property I want, okay? I want the content. I want the data content. And to get the data content, I use value. So to get the data content, I'm using value. So I said, take the value in price one, and multiply it by the quantity in price one. And then take the value in price two and multiply it by the quantity in price two. I think I said that wrong. Price one times quantity one, price two times quantity two. Take the value in each one. And so when I return it, I want it to become the value in the total down here. There's the name of the total field. And I want it to become the value in the total field. So in other words, I want it to become the content of the total field. So I have to say, put it in the total field, and it's the value that I'm putting in there. It's the value property that I'm dealing with. Does that make sense? And then if I hit the clear button, I'm not doing any calculation there. I'm just setting every one of the fields to quote, quote, which is nothing. And because I didn't send anything up there, I have to tell it what the location. Since I didn't send anything up, I need to tell it the location. Okay, so this document, I'm telling it the location when I say document data in. So I'm saying it's on the document, it's in the form called data in, and it's the price one field. And I want to make that price one equal to nothing. So I say make the value in the price one on the data in form on the document equal to one. And I can always be that way. If it doesn't seem to understand what I'm talking about with price one or price two, then I can always give it the complete path to find it. Okay, so I say go to the document, and the document is the area on the screen that you can write on. Go to the document, go to the form named data in, and then go down and find the thing named price one. So it knows exactly what I'm talking about. And change the content or the value in price one to nothing. Because quote, quote means nothing. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, who's telling the truth and who isn't? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. If it doesn't, ask me some questions.
Could you explain line 45?
Yeah, I can feel what line 45 is.
It's just that long one.
45, yeah. Okay. What I'm saying is I want to figure out the total, right?
Well, I understand the price one, quantity one, all that stuff, but just the total dot value equals capital.
Okay. So, what I'm saying is the total dot value is going to be equal to the result of that calculation I'm going to do up in the function. It's going to be equal to what gets returned. I'm actually going to make this go away because we've taken pictures of this and get rid of the writing so I can get to write again. Okay. So, what I'm doing here is basically saying, go do the function. So I'm saying, here I'm saying, go do the function and return the answer. And in fact, toad answer is what I call it. And return toad answer. And then assign toad answer as the value for the total field. Okay. So I'm saying go do that function, and when I'm done with it, it is returning toad answer that I calculated. So toad answer is coming back, and toad answer is going to become the value that shows up in that box. So I said, go do the function. Take all that data up, because you're going to need it to do the calculation. When you're done, return the answer you came up with, and the answer is going to become the value in that field. And there's the field down there. So it figured out that the answer was 30, right, in the numbers that I put in. So it's coming back, and it's saying the value of this field is going to become 30. So it puts the 30 in right there in that box.
Could you have also written the total dot value there, too?
No, because that is specifically a name. So I need to put the value up here where I'm saying assign the answer. What I'm basically doing is saying assign the answer whatever I called it, Todansa. Assign Todansa. So assign the value in Todansa to the total, which is its value. Okay, so I'm saying take that 30 and make it the value of the field called the total. Make it the value of the field called the total. Yes, no, maybe? Keep asking if you're not making questions. Because I don't know what more to say unless you give me some hints as to what I should be saying. What you need me to say. In other words, I'm happy with my explanation, but if you're not, then you got to interrogate me to get the right explanation out of me.
Did you have to put function up there?
Yes.
Could you have started it with just calc total?
No. A function is a subprogram, kind of, a module, that I am putting inside my program. And it doesn't get executed on a drop-down basis. You know how HTML, basically, it puts out the lines one at a time as it hits them?
Yeah.
The word function keeps that from happening. The function will only show up if, I mean, will only be executed, that's what I meant. It will only be executed when I tell it to go do it, like I did here. Go do calc total, go do clear total. So, the word function means it's a subroutine or a module that I have put in there that will only be executed when I tell it to execute it. Okay. And so all that code is not executed by just dropping down and doing it, which is the way that we frequently do stuff. It's only executed when I say execute that function. This is an example in week 10, I think, that I went back and looked at. Okay.
So whenever you're pulling an answer from a different source, you always have to say whatever that source's dot value is equal to the answer of the previous thing you got.
I'm not going to go with the word whenever, but that's what's happening here. Mainly because there are, unfortunately, another 5 or 6 or 10 ways that I could have done this. But in this particular one, what I did was say, go do the set function, and whatever is returned, make it the value of the total. And that's, I think, one of the better ways of doing it. So it's the way I probably like best. But there are loads of ways to do it. Okay?
And you put it there just because you want it to activate right when you...
I want to have the button... Yeah. It's a user control thing. Nothing is going to happen until the user hits the button. They put in those numbers sit there until the user hits the button. And the click of it, of clicking on this button, is going to activate the total. See where I say on click? That means here's the button set up. On click. On the click event, I want you to do that function and bring the answer back. So it's an on-click event that causes it to happen. And the same with the clear. Now, in the clear, I didn't do any calculation or bring anything back. I just said set all those fields to nothing. So when I go and do the clear function, it just puts nothing in all those fields. Okay, and I didn't send anything up when I did the CLIA total. I didn't send it any data, so I had to give it a very specific address about what to do. And I said, go to the document, go to the form called data in, go to the field called price one, take its value,
because
and change it to spaces, to nothing.
If you didn't do that, it would have cleared out everything, even the total?
I did clear out the total. If you look down at the bottom, I said I also cleared out the total. But I did them one by one. The last thing in that clear total is clearing out the total.
Well, if you're going to clear everything, why didn't you just do it the same way?
The same way as what?
As you did the total volume.
Because I wasn't trying to figure out an answer. I just want to take and change the value in each of these fields to nothing.
Okay, I'm good.
And so I just said make nothing the value of each of those fields.
Okay.
Okay. I think I've taken the picture of this about 25 times. So I will have to clear that out when I go home.
So is that just something you do when you make a button? You just connect it by doing a function?
Usually, because on click, I've got to tell it what to do. And so on click, I'm telling it to go do a function. And that's usually what you do. So I say on click, go do the function. Okay, so that was chapter 10. Week 11, you got to take it easy. The basic payroll assignment is a little bit different than that example, but not much different, and that's an assignment that you have to do, and you can still do.
I almost have it, Tess.
Almost got it? Okay. Well, we can look at it if you're running into a problem later on. So the next one is the payroll problem, and as I said, if you haven't done the payroll problem, then I will try to come up with an alternative for you to do. Have you done the payroll one?
I sent it to you at midnight last night.
I was in bed at
right
midnight
on,
last
yeah,
night.
Right on time. I was like, yes.
Oh, actually, it was not due until 11 o'clock this morning.
Awesome. On time.
So you were 11 hours ahead.
Awesome.
Okay, so I'm going to go over that one now. And I'd still like you to do it, even if you haven't done it, but you also will have to do something else to get full credit, because obviously if I'm going to give you the solution, then that's not going to work as an assignment. So, actually, I'm going to put it in like this, and that will probably throw it in a twizzy. So, I'm going to come over here, and I've got a solution to this that I'm going to open. Now I gotta try to remember which one it was. Payroll return, I believe. Okay, so you don't have this, I do. Just a second. So, I've got an employee that works for me, John Doe. And I'm gonna say that he's an hourly employee. And he works 25 hours, his pay per hour is $25, and he worked 40 hours. So calculate your pay is showing, okay, I've got to reduce the size of that a little bit. Let's say I click C. Calculate your pay is $975. And basically, I hadn't clicked anything, but the way I've written the code is if you didn't pick a medical plan, I gave you plan C. Okay, you had to pick a medical planner. Kind of like the state of Massachusetts. Okay. If you decided to do salaried, then you would click on salary and you didn't need anything in those fields, and I didn't ask you to clear it out. And calculate your pay. I didn't give any salary. That would have explained why I got negative number there. So I put in 5,200 because if I'm dividing by 52 to get my weekly pay, so their weekly pay is 1,000, and if they're in medical plan C, they have lose $25, so it's 975. Okay, so that's how that works. So now we're going to look at how the code worked to make this happen. And there are four of you, so I will print out the code so that you can look at it. But as I said, at this point, I will put out a similar problem, but I probably won't get it out. I'll try to get it out. But the ones who haven't had it done, on the whole, have other things they can be working on, so that will work. It's two pages. Take your two and pass them back, okay? Okay, so if you can't read anything up here, you have the paper that you can look at. Okay, so the first thing I did was, we're going to look at, rather, the first thing is the form that I set up. And then we'll go and look at the function. So I have body, I put a header in. My form is named payroll. Okay, and in this particular one, I am sending up the form. Because notice down here, when I tell it to go up there, I say, go do calculate pay, and I'm sending it the form. Now, that's just an alternative. I could have listed the names of all of the fields, okay, like I did on the first one that I did. But this one, I wanted to do it a little differently. So I said, go do calculate pay, send it everything that is on the payroll form. It will return your pay, and your pay will become the value of the field down here called pay. So it's returning your pay, and your pay becomes the value in the pay field that's right beneath it. Okay? So, on the form, I have a place for the person's name, okay, and then I have a radio button. And when I have a radio button, I have to say type radio, and that tells it it's a radio button. Now, notice I have two sets of radio buttons. It's very important that the name in each set be the same. Okay? So up here on the two buttons that say salary and hourly, I call them both pay type. When I'm doing the medical deduction, I call them all med type. Okay? By calling them the same name, it knows that they belong together. And you know the rule about radio buttons is you can only click one of them. Okay? If I gave them different names, it wouldn't consider them a group, and I could click them all if I wanted to. But by giving them the same name, it considers them a group. Okay? So, I set up, going back up here, I have a radio button, and another radio button right beneath it. They're both main pay type, but they have different values. The one for the top says value salary, and the one beneath it says value hourly, because I need to know whether they're a salaried or an hourly employee. Okay? And then the word salary and hourly out here with a capital S and a capital H are the words that actually appear on the form. That's the HTML that actually appears on the form. And I made those a capital so you could see that it wasn't the thing after value that was appearing. It was the thing with the capital S and the capital H. Okay, then I put in a place to get my pay per hour, and I called that pay hour. And I put in a place to get hours worked, and I called that hours work. And I put in a place to get salary, and I called that sal. Okay? Now, if I checked salary, then I put in the salary. If I checked hours worked, then I put in hours and pay per hour. Then I came down and I wrote out enter medical plan. And you can see, by the way, up at the top, this was done in XHTML. So my BRs all have the slash in them because it was XHTML. And I apparently did not modify this one to be HTML5. So this is an HTML5. This is an XHTML program. It would work the same way in HTML5. So, then I have my button. And my button says, calculate your pay. And so, when I click on that button, I say, go and do the function called CalPay, and whatever gets returned, make it the value that goes into the field down here, pay. Okay? Questions on that so far? Do you understand the form? Okay, so now I'm going to go up and I'm going to look at my function. So the first thing I did in the function was I defined two variables that I wanted. Overtime hours, actually three variables. Overtime hours, overtime pay, and your pay. And I started out your pay equal to zero. Okay? Now notice your pay is what I'm returning down here. Return your pay. And I don't know why I didn't make that a variable. You can get away with it. I probably should have written there out there in front of it. But that's one of the few things that JavaScript forgives you for. If you don't write there, it assumes you meant there. And so it forgives you for that. I should have written... Forget it. I should have written there in front of that. It would have been better style. But, again, it's not... You can get away with it. So then this time I got a little carried away. I put window in front of document. I said if window.document.payroll.payType 0 checked equals true. Now, in fact, I didn't have to write all of that. And we'll see in a minute how I could have done that differently. I gave it more information than I needed to because I actually sent up the contents of the form. So I didn't need to have the window.document, and we'll go and play with that in a minute. So, then I said, if pay type 0 is checked. Okay, so, what happened is, down below, I called two things pay type. Okay, I call two things pay type. You can't have two things that have the same name. So what Visual Basic did, JavaScript. I'll remember what language I'm doing in a minute. What JavaScript did here is it said, I'm going to set up an array, and I'm going to have a pay type with a zero after it, and I'm going to have a pay type with a one after it. So the first one is going to be zero, and the next one is going to be one. Because it said, if you can't use the same name twice, because I'm going to get confused. Okay? The same is if I stand in the class and say, everybody named Jane, stand up. Or Jane, stand up. And everybody looks at each other, and all the Janes stand up. Well, which one is which? So pay type zero and pay type one. And pay type zero is going to be the first one, and pay type one is the next one. So up here I said check pay type zero. So pay type zero is this one. Okay, that one is pay type zero, and this one is pay type one. So I'm saying check pay type zero. This one is if that to see if it's checked. Okay, if salary is checked, then pay type zero is checked. If hourly is checked, then pay type one is checked. Okay. So I'm
sitting down there though.
Pardon me?
It's not labeled down there though.
But magic happened. And they created when they saw that you had that I had the same name twice. JavaScript created an array in the background and said, since you have the same name twice, we're going to make it so that the first one has the zero and the next one has the one. And they did that in the background. Fondly referred to as magic happens, okay? So they did it in the background. So now I'm saying, okay, if pay type zero is checked, if it's checked equals true, means it was checked. And if it is checked, then take the value in the sal field on the payroll form on the document and divide it by 52. Because I was saying that that's my yearly salary. If I want to know what you're going to make every week, I divide it by 52. Else. Now, there are only two buttons to be checked here. I could have asked if the second one was checked and said, otherwise, I'll put out a message, please check something or do something like that, but I didn't. I just said, if they're not salary, I'm going to assume they're hourly. Okay? So, if I got a no to, is the first one checked, I made the assumption that they were hourly. And other people could have coded this differently and not made that assumption and put out an error message, which would have been better, probably. So now I'm checking and saying, if the hours worked is less than or equal to 40, and I'm assuming 40 hours is what you're having to work. If it's less than or equal to 40, then I'm going to take the hours worked and multiply it by the value in the pay per hour. So I'm taking the value in the hours worked and multiplying it by the value in the pay per hour. Okay, I put up in my example a while back, I put up that they worked 40 hours and that they got paid $25 an hour. So it calculated and would have come up with 1,000 there. Okay. Else, I decided to pay them overtime, and this wasn't a requirement, I just put it in there. So I decided to pay them overtime. So I said, take the hours worked and subtract 40 and make that overtime hours. So if I put in 50, I would say 50 minus 40 and 10 would go into overtime hours. Okay. So I'm going to stop here for a second and actually run that. So I'm going to close the ink layer, and I'm going to come over here and say, we'll make this hourly, and let's say the pay per hour is 25, let's make it 30, easier to math. And the hours worked are 50. And if I say calculate your pay, it comes out at 1625. Okay, so let's see if we come up with 1625 when we look at the code. So I'm saying that overtime hours is going to be 10, right? Because 50 minus 40 is 10, right? Yes, everybody? 50 minus 40 is 10. So overtime hours is 10. Okay, so because I've got 50 minus 40 is 10. So then overtime pay is going to be overtime hours, or pay per hour rather, which is 30, times overtime hours, which is 10, which is 300, times 1.5, which is going to be 450, right? So overtime pay is going to be 450. Regular pay is going to be 30 times 40, which is 1,200, plus overtime pay, which is 450. So it is going to be 1650. And that's what we came up with. We came up with 1625 because we subtracted $25 from medical. But the 1650 is what we came up with. Okay. So then, after I did that, I went down and said, if medical type 0 is checked. Now, there were three things in medical. So there was med type 0, med type 1, med type 2. And I decided again, because I was trying to keep this simple, that if med type 0 is checked, I took the $1,650 and subtracted $50. If med type 1 was checked, I subtracted $35. If med type 2 was checked, or if nothing was checked, I subtracted 25. So I decided I was going to make them pay the medical whether they check anything or not. If my alternative would have been to write it if payroll.med type 2 checked equals true, subtract 25, else subtract 0. Okay. So, at the result, or at the end of all that, I decided to round the answer. And this is how you round the answer. So you don't get that .666666 or whatever that you can sometimes get. And that's a copy and paste. Math round your pay, multiply it by 100, divide it by 100, ends up doing a rounding. And I was rounding to a whole number.
How do you put that?
No. Yeah, right. And that's fine. And then that rounded up your pay, and then I said return your pay. And so your pay came down and got put into the box that I'd set up for it, and there it sits. And I didn't have a clear button or a clear on this, so this is all that it had to be done. So, questions? So I returned your pay, and your pay got put as the value of the field call pay, and there's the field call pay. So it became the value in there. If I had had medical plan A checked, it would be 1600, because 1650 minus 50 is 1600. Because if A is checked, I subtract $50. Questions? Okay, I'm going to give you something similar to this, and I will post it up there. But in all honesty, if you want to learn this, I think the best thing we do would be, you've got the paper sitting there, I would try doing it. If you haven't already passed it in, I would try doing it, not because you're going to get credit in it, but because you're going to learn a lot by doing it. And then you have the paper to reference, or people at home can look at the pictures of the screen for reference, to see how the solution went. Okay. Questions? There's also an example in here called the penalty and point example, where I have another example that you can look at about how things work. So you can look at that one as well.
Can you go to the source?
The what?
The source.
On what?
For that assignment you just showed us, this guy.
That is the source.
Yeah, I know, because you go to that.
Oh, okay. Apparently not. Payroll return.
Find the variable over hours and stuff like that.
Those are just set up, or I just set those up to use. When I'm using something, it's always a good idea to set them up as a variable, and I'm using overtime hours here, and I'm using overtime pay there, and I'm using your pay there. And so I just tell it about the variables I'm using. Again, you can get away without doing that.
So you should have put variable or VAR on line 11 too?
Yes. Yes. Although I got forgiven for that.
Okay,
JavaScript doesn't actually get too concerned about that.
And then, could you just go over the window.document.payroll.tape?
Yeah, that I'm actually going to do, though we don't need all of that. But let me do an edit select all. Edit, copy, and we will put that in Notepad. Okay. Window.document, and I'm going to call this file save as, and put it out on this disk and call it pay April 15, just to have a name for it. The document, when you refer to a window, is the entire window on your screen. Document is the part that you get to write on. You know, the part after the header and before the line,
yeah,
at the bottom. It's what you get to use.
Like open doc, close doc, right?
Yes. And so that's all that. I don't really need to have those up there because I sent up payroll. So I can get rid of those. Okay. So I've got a bunch of these that I should be able to get rid of just fine, and it should be happy with it. And every once in a while it gets temperamental. And so if it gets temperamental, then you can go back in and put in this entire path. And when I have the entire path, then I know it will work. So I just changed that. Here's another one. Okay, I'm taking out the word document. And then the next step is to cross your fingers and hope that it understood. And I think I've got them all. File, save. So I'm going to do a file, open, and there it is, pay April. Okay, so Susan, and she is hourly, and 25, and 40, and I've got to make it smaller because of that foolish thing in the side. Okay, so that worked just fine when I took those out, because when I sent it up, well, I got one that I got left, but I took most of them out. I sent up payroll, which means I sent up the content of the form. And since I sent up the content of the form, and let me take that last one out. Since I sent up the content of the form, and the form is called payroll, I just have to tell it, I'm using, by the way, payroll. And so everything you will find, excuse me, on payroll. Okay, so if I change that to Plan C and calculate, it gives me $975. Okay, so I can take out those Windows.document. I put them in. He made me point out that if you run into problems, give it the whole path. The whole path is window.document dot the name of the form dot basically. But since I set up payroll and it received payroll, I can say on payroll there is this field. On payroll there is this field. On payroll there is this field. And it understands that just fine. Okay, so I can take out all of the Windows.document that I have in here, and it will work just fine. Okay, any other questions?
What is payroll on that?
Pardon? It's down on the form, and it says form name equals payroll. Write the, when I define the form, right in the body, the second line inside the body, line 52. Line 53, can't count. Line 53, right here, form name equals payroll. Okay, so that's what I wanted to go over to start out today. I'm going to give you a homework assignment that is also to write one more of these, and it's to write one that we're going to call a quiz. And I will put that up with an example of what it looks like, but I want you to do a quiz. Actually, I'm not sure if I have that. I think I have that. There's one. Okay. So on this one, the one I'm going to ask you to do, I've got question one. You can test a condition. Question two, question three, question four, question five. And it's a quiz, and you have to set the quiz up. And then what you have to do is check. If true is true, then I said each one of them, for example, is worth 20 points to get up to 100, so add 20 to a total. So if they got this one true, okay, so that one I just checked true and I didn't check anything else, and when I say calculate your grade, it comes up with a 20 because I added 20. Okay, the next one is also true, and so if I say calculate your grade, it comes up with a 40. Okay, and then I have another button there that says show letter grade, and so what that does is if your score is a 40, then you have an F, but it will check your score and determine what the letter grade is. So I would like you to try and figure that one out for next week, and we will take a look at this, and I will post it when I go home. But I will ask you to do that.
Where is that located?
Nowhere yet. It's located on my flash drive right now, but I will put that up, and I will ask you to write this one.
Okay. Instead of this guy, right?
No. Everybody's got to write this one.
Okay.
There will be a replacement for the other one, but this one is a new assignment that everybody has to write. Okay, so I will put that up. I want you to try to figure it out. Again, I'm looking for best effort. And if you don't get it all right, well, we'll work on it. Okay. So, let's see. It's now 10 past 12. Is this a good time for a break because it's a brand new topic? Or do you want me to do part of the topic and give you a break?
I was late.
I don't know. I think a break would be good.
Okay, then go take a break. 10 minutes. And then we will start the next
thing.
How much
stuff did you receive from me during the weekend? Because I just got an email you sent to me 2 days ago, and I kept on getting it didn't go through again, because I think you're on your spam system, because I always label my emails as a homework or something. It blocks me. However, I sent you did receive the one where I fixed
I received two things from you that had an attachment. I don't know if I received others, because I've still got in my inbox. But I think I remember getting two things, and I think I sent both of those back.
Yes. All right. That's all you received?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right,
but I don't honestly know, because I haven't finished. My inbox isn't empty, so there might be one more in there that I received.
All right, because I still get sent back. It didn't. I didn't go through, but you did send me one. Send me a reply. So
okay.
You did get one thing at least.
Worst case scenario, the other thing you can do is you can do that, but the other thing is you've got a website up on, and maybe that's the way to go. Do you know how to get into your website?
Not really, actually.
All right, well, let's go over that now. So I'm going to pick WinSCP. Now, do you know your username and password?
Isn't your username the same as
Yes, but your password is different.
Password, I got that one.
Okay. Well, then let me just run through it and show you. You put up here cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Then you're not going to be able to do this because I'm going to do it with my username and password. And if you don't know your username and password, you can't get in. It's your actually it's the same one to log into the machines. Right? Yeah. So put your username and password that you'd log into.
Not the password.
Password's different?
Yes.
Okay.
The username.
Okay. Well, you gotta put in the username and the password. They gave you a Linux password, and I have it at home if you don't find it, but I don't have it here. And then you click login. And then you hit continue. And now
okay,
I...
Okay, this side.
Public
this
HTML. Side.
Right.
So you're going to have an area. So what you can do is just put your assignments up there. And then send me the address or send me something that tells me that you put it up there.
That would help for, like, images, too. I could just post them all on
that's right.
folder.
Right. So if you put them all up there and then just send me the address.
Okay.
Now you got to send me the address of where it is, and I can correct that just fine.
Okay.
So that may be the best answer. In fact, a lot of people do that. A lot of people just put it up there and send me the address.
So later, I can send me my password, just so I can get into it.
You'll have to send me an email and remind right now.
Okay.
Just send me an email and tell me that you need my password. The other way you can also, well, no, just tell me because I can send it to you. Because I don't think I have them with me. At some points, I bring them in, but... No.
I already have stuff from my last class on there, so...
Okay. Then that works out well. What was your last class?
CSS 120, I think. It was our last assignment, just basic HTML.
Okay. Then that would be a good solution for it.